6-8 right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We have multiple things taking place here at the moment at ESPN 1000. We do have football news to get to. Ryan Poles speaking to the assembled media at the NFL meetings. We'll get to that. We also have a couple other Bears pieces to get to as well this evening. Also, Lamar Jackson requesting a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. We have to address that. But Rick in Evergreen Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Let's get things started on Monday night with a phone call. Rick, what do you think?
How you doing, Mr. Black?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Oh, I love you guys. You guys, I'm telling you, you and Adam, I love your show. I love
thank you.
Hopefully you can take over for Greeny soon, but we'll see what happens there. And Peggy is a wonderful addition.
Isn't Peggy
show.
Great?
She's great.
She is,
I love listening to Peggy and Dion on Saturday
she's
mornings.
Awesome.
They're the best.
I Saturdays, but when she filled in with Yurko last week and today as well, it is hysterical. I am a huge fan. I love all you guys.
Well, thank you, Rick. You wanted to talk about tipping. What do you want to say about tipping?
Well, tipping, when it comes to pools and squares, isn't 10% kind of standard? If you win a square, you give 10% back to whoever ran the square.
Squares. All right. All right.
I've never heard of that before.
I think that
Army might give 5%, but the rest of us is always 10%, right?
I was always under the impression, Rick, that if you run a pool or you run a square pool, something like that, or a bracket pool, that if you either get a free bracket, so you don't have to put the entry in if you're running it,
yeah, that
or
makes sense.
You get a free square.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, you get a chance, and you don't have to pay for your chance.
Okay, well, I got a guy from the neighborhood who lives on the pools, buddy of mine.
I'm sure.
And
that's
his actual income. He does nothing but run squares and gets 10% of every one.
What else is he running squares for?
What squares does he have
now
going forward?
Is he running squares for NBA games and stuff? What's he doing?
NBA games,
softball. What does he have? Whatever.
He's always got 20 squares that he's sending over to you, anything you want to buy in, and he gets 10% of every pool. So he's making a living off this.
A living? He's making a living off of running square pools?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's kind of always been our standard anyway. Any pool I've ever gotten in Super Bowl pools, I won $5,000 last year. I won the half in the final, not this past Super Bowl, the Super Bowl before. I think it was 3-1, came in both half and final, and I knew $500 was going back to the person running the pool. I won $5,000, so
okay,
it's just kind of understood. You don't have to say it. It's just when you go to pick up your money, you pull out the 10% and give it back to them.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you for the call, Rick. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, man. There's Rick in Evergreen Park. There he is. 10% for the pool that you join, gambling squares, whatever you join. I didn't think of that, but you made a good point. The person who's running it
gets a free entry.
Yeah. Sure, that makes sense.
That seems fair to me.
So for the final four, at the moment here at the station, at the radio station, Tyler Aki and the bracket they filled out on the Black and Abdallah show.
Program.
We fill out one bracket between the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we submit. Tyler has submitted this. He 2 years ago, he won. Last year, didn't do so hot. But right now, heading into the Final Four, if Connecticut advances, he wins the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyler would then have to give 10% to Anthony. Isn't Anthony the one here at the station running the pool?
Unless Anthony got a free bracket.
Okay. All right. What? I don't know. I assume the person that wins gets the full amount, and they don't have to give back to the person who set up the pool.
Yeah,
I mean, in
that's
this day and age, you're just, and like, what do you
but
really
that's why
have
we
do?
Always did the free bracket. Like, that was the entire, like, when I was asked to run it a long time ago, and this is still, I mean, this was still
you weren't asked, you were told
to do it.
That
and
was
this,
a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Well, but the problem was, this was, everybody was very secretive about it, and didn't want to do it online, so they're like, we'll give you
no
sheets.
Paper trail.
And I go, no, this is like the ultimate paper trail. You dummies. Like, you're literally giving me paper for the paper trail. Like, if I drop this behind me, there's a literal trail of paper that you have supplied me with, and you're just handing me an envelope of cash, and me, being a young producer and or intern at the time, I'm just running around with this envelope of cash.
Now, one more item before we get to the Lamar Jackson news. Black and Abdallah weeknight 6-8 here on ESPN 1000. It seems like you've seen a bit of a situation on the computer that you're sitting at here in the studio. Something is going on over there?
Yes. Yeah, so I guess whoever was... Oh, you know who was in today? Jesse was in today. And I don't think Jesse logs in on this computer because it was Cap and Jesse today.
Okay.
So Cap and Jesse were into this morning for Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay.
And Jesse uses the computer I'm currently sitting at. And
right.
I guess between Sunday's Basketball U from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Right.
until right now, no one has logged on to Twitter.
Okay.
And so Shane Norling...
Still logged in.
...was not only logged into his Twitter, but
oh.
also logged into his Twitch account, too.
Oh, geez.
She had a relationship with her stepbrother.
Well, there you go. There's Shane Norling. You hear him weekday mornings on Cap and Jay Hood, executive producer of Cap and Jay Hood. And you also hear Shay with Basketball U, still signed in from Sunday morning.
She had a relationship with her stepbrother.
Now, I logged him out. But it was very nice of him to promote our show.
Oh, that is nice.
He did a great job of saying, it was very nice of him to say, check out the great Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 right now. Come for the laughs and stay for the zoo news. And I thought he hated zoo news.
Right,
so
that's very nice of Shay.
It is very nice of him.
To support the show like that. Fantastic work by Shay. So thank you. He's still logged in, or he was this evening. Abdallah logs him out, but he is able to tweet a very nice message to the Black and Abdallah show. That's very nice. You know, doing that in the past could get us a meeting. In the past, if you were to do that to someone who has not logged out, that could get you a meeting.
Well, I didn't. If you do that, you don't tweet anything offensive or anything.
No, we would never do that.
But my point, you're just promoting content.
Yeah, promoting other shows. See, that's the problem. But thank you, Shay. We will take that. We will. That's fantastic.
She had a relationship with her stepbrother.
No, and there's Shay. You could promote Shay and Tyler on Sunday morning after the Final Four.
Give him
Tyler
a
limp foot effort.
Yeah, the limp foot effort.
I give him a retweet on Sunday morning when I see the tweet go up so people can tune in. I listen on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do one better. I listen.
I listen too. I was driving around, running a bunch of errands.
I was in the Twitch chat. I said, what up to the Twitchers? We are watching, so there you go. Okay, so you have logged Shay out.
Shay is currently logged out, yeah.
All right. I do want to talk to you about this. The story that broke earlier today, it's weird. It's kind of like it broke, but also it's announcing something that took place in the past. Because to say that the Lamar Jackson story broke today, he tweeted that on March the 2nd, Lamar Jackson requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. So, Abdallah, when I see this tweet from Lamar Jackson today, and then I think back to the way that the Ravens have kind of navigated this offseason free agency and just handling this Lamar Jackson situation, to me, the Ravens are just calling Lamar Jackson's bluff, right? Like, at this moment, if the request was made on March the 2nd, and today we're finding out about it from Lamar Jackson on the 27th, that was a full week plus before free agency even started that Lamar Jackson told the Ravens he wants a trade. He is requesting a trade from the organization, doesn't want to be a Raven anymore. And the Ravens said, all right, that's cute. You
that's
can do
cute.
That. Well, like what? Like they didn't do anything. They didn't operate any differently throughout free agency. And it seems as if it's just business as usual for the Baltimore Ravens. And they are just straight calling the bluff on Lamar Jackson because they know, like, no one's going to just give up two first-round picks for you.
No.
And the market isn't quite there. How else would I read this? If Lamar Jackson is saying something happened on the 2nd of this month, and it's the 27th, and nothing has changed with the Ravens, I don't think they're really bothered by him saying publicly that he requested a trade.
No, I don't think they are either, but, I believe it was Chris Mortensen that tweeted right when this came out that he heard that the Ravens were negotiating with Lamar, like, right up until this weekend. Like, they were still having negotiations about the contract. So, yeah, he could have requested a trade on March 2nd, but the reports are that he was also talking to the Ravens about a deal as early or as soon as this past weekend. So, both things can still be true. He could say, hey, I want to trade if we don't get stuff figured out. I'm not playing on the franchise tag. That's fine. You can do that. But again, as Albert Breer said to Cap and I last week, he said, don't be surprised if nothing happens until after the draft. I mean, think about the teams that now are being jersey swapped with Lamar on Twitter, right? Like, the Colts have the fourth overall pick. The Colts could draft a defensive player and then just say, hey, we'll give you next year's draft pick because we're not trading the fourth overall pick and another first round pick next year. Like, we'll give you a 2023 and 2024 pick. How about that? Or Atlanta at 8. That's a top 10 pick. Like, I know Lamar Jackson is worth 2 first round picks. I understand that. I'm not saying he's not. What I'm saying is that why would a team trade for him now when they anticipate having a worse draft pick next year?
Right.
Like, the idea is that if you're Atlanta, or if you're Indianapolis, or if you're Tennessee, or if you're New England, or if you're Washington, that your draft pick is going to be worse next season because Lamar comes with more wins. So I can totally see this playing out in a month after the draft. Like, give it 5 weeks from now. You know, after the draft is over in 5 weeks from now, and we're talking about what the Bears did at number 9 and what they did and what Ryan Poles added and what he didn't add and all this kind of stuff, then you hear a Lamar Jackson trade, like if the Colts don't take a quarterback at 4, or if Atlanta, who we don't think could take a quarterback, but maybe they will, or Tennessee, who has been rumored to have talked to a couple of these teams about trading up. So, like, that's where the smoke is, but also there's no rush whatsoever to get this done. Same with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Same situation. Why trade a first-round pick this year when you assume you're a playoff, if not championship contender with Aaron Rodgers? That pick is going to be in the mid-20s somewhere. Why would you trade a pick now that's 13 overall for the Jets when you could be trading 25 or 26 next year?
And I don't think the Packers are going to be willing to help Aaron Rodgers or the Jets out. Brian Gutekunst said just a little bit ago, like 45 minutes ago, that he and the Packers tried to contact Aaron Rodgers, quote, multiple times this offseason to discuss how he fits in the Packers' future, and that their inability to reach Rodgers or for him to respond in any way is why they had to go the route that they're going down, which would contradict what Aaron Rodgers was saying on the podcast with his friend, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
That he wanted more dialogue from the Packers. The Packers are flat out saying they tried to contact Aaron Rodgers and his people, and they just never responded. So you're right. Like, there's no incentive for Green Bay to help out the Jets and do this anytime soon. They could just sit on it. And then when you look at the Ravens situation, you know, sit there and call the bluff of Lamar Jackson. There's no one that's seemingly desperate right now to make a move for Lamar Jackson.
No.
And earlier today, Lamar Jackson on social media, on Twitter, he tweets out saying that he requests a trade on March 2nd. It's the 27th of the month. And he's saying that that took place. To me, the Ravens haven't really done anything different throughout free agency and here in the offseason after the trade request from Lamar Jackson. Let's talk Bears coming up next. Ryan Poles trying to fix this defensive line. It doesn't seem like a priority at this moment in the offseason. Is that a problem? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN1000. This is Black and Abdallah on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Abdallah, I was reading the Sun-Times earlier today. And Mark Potash over the weekend had a column up over, talking about Ryan Poles being in no rush to upgrade the Bears' defensive line. You know, they pass on the top players in free agency at the position. It seems like moving out of number 1 to 9 and then perhaps maybe moving back even farther in the NFL draft would put them out of play for one of the top two edge rushers for this year's NFL draft. They do sign in this offseason, DeMarcus Walker, to a three-year, $21 million deal, but he's not necessarily a star at the position. And so Mark Potash is writing about the defensive line and Poles and the decision to build the team the way he has. And we had the conversation last week about building the team backwards. And I wonder, do you care that the defensive line at this point in the offseason has not really been addressed to the same care and level that the offensive line or skill position players kind of have been looked at by Ryan Poles to this point?
No, I'm not. Back to you.
All right, so no. we'll go on to the Final Four. The Final Four will take place this weekend.
No,
but what do you think about this? Because I think there is a level of thought from people that defensive line play is so important.
I agree
with that. I think quarterback, weapons for the quarterback, and then guys who can get after a quarterback from the defensive side. Those are the three most important things to a football team. And the fact that he went linebackers and not necessarily defensive linemen, I do think it's something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I think that he needs to build the offensive line first. And my reasoning is this is not a team that's competing right now, right? This is not a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl. We keep saying this. And my number one priority at the end of the season, I don't have the exact date or else I would give it to you, whatever after the 17th game is, after week 18 is over, and we come in on that Bears Monday, whether they're in the playoffs or not, is what did we learn about Justin Fields? That is my number one priority. And that means you have to give him weapons, which they did with DJ Moore. It means you have to build up the offensive line, which it looks like they're probably going to do if you keep an eye on the mock drafts. It's either, you know, Skoronski or Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones or any of these guys, right? It's an offensive lineman. And that's fine because I need the protection for Justin Fields. I need the weapons for Justin Fields, and I need to see what he is. This is not a team that's going to go out and be the Eagles and go to the Super Bowl. This is a team that's going to be more like the Lions were last year, where, all right, they hopefully score a bunch of points, and maybe they end up giving up a bunch of points. And that's fine, because as long as they find ways to be in games and turn some of those close losses into close wins like they did last year, where they lost a bunch of one-score games, I'm fine with it, because I still believe that you have one more offseason from being a complete football team. If we're talking in this space next offseason and he still hasn't done anything, now we're talking about a problem, because then he's just completely ignoring it. And I think with a defensive-minded head coach, he won't be ignoring it for very long. You can add some nice depth pieces, but I'm not concerned if they're winning games 34-31, you know, 30-27. I don't care, because as long as Justin Fields is progressing, you now have a clock with Justin Fields. This is the year for Justin Fields. If he doesn't figure it out and doesn't become a better passer by the end of the year, you have two first-round picks next year. You have your pick and you have Carolina's pick. And you can use those to move up or move down or whatever you want to do to find yourself a quarterback if he's not the guy. If they're giving up 35 points a game and Justin Fields isn't the guy, then you've got to draft a quarterback. If they're giving up 35 points a game and Justin Fields is the guy and you have a top three pick from Carolina, you're taking the best defensive player in the draft. Who cares, right? You're taking the best defense. If they have let's say Carolina's pick ends up being top five, you are most likely taking the best defensive player in the draft, because we assume top three, four are going to be quarterbacks, because it always is. Even now, with bad quarterbacks, or not bad, with mediocre quarterbacks
unproven.
This year,
unproven quarterbacks.
But like we can
in college football.
But everybody's already saying, look at Caleb Williams, look at Drake May next year. Like, that's what everybody's already saying. So if you don't take one this year, if Jalen Carter doesn't fall to you, or Tyree Wilson, or one of these other guys, Miles Murphy, if they don't fall to you, it's not a big deal, because you can get that guy next year. My number one concern is making sure that Justin Fields finds ways to win football games and progresses as a passer and can become that guy that you know. So we're not having this dumb conversation like we were at the beginning of the offseason. Oh, maybe they'll be shopping Justin Fields. Maybe they're going to take Bryce Young. No, they were never going to do that. Ryan Poles positioned himself perfectly for this offseason to find out who Justin Fields is, and if he's not the guy, you can move on and draft another quarterback.
What about the whispers?
Well, I can whisper anything. You want me to whisper something?
Yeah, whisper something.
What do you mean, whisper a sweet nothing?
Weren't there whispers that the Bears were looking to move off of Fields? Is that not something that was out there?
You got to deal with that tomorrow.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I think when it comes down to this year's draft, Bears fans are going to look at this. It's one of three options. It would be an edge rusher at 9, a wide receiver, or you're going offensive tackle. Though that's the three options.
Mm-hmm.
You're not drafting anything outside of that, right? And I know at that range where the Bears are currently sitting at 9, there are a couple of corners who could be in the mix. Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, stud corners, supposed to be the first one off the board. Also, you would have Devon Witherspoon, who's a corner from Illinois. He had an incredible year for the Fighting Illini, and they had a great year last year in the Big Ten. So there are two corners that are sandwiched right in the range, 8, 9, 10 range, that the Bears are sitting at currently in 9. Do the Bears do anything outside of edge rusher, wide receiver, offensive tackle when they get to the draft in the first round?
I don't think they're taking a corner. I think that if you're going to go defense at 9, you're taking it's because Tyree Wilson fell or Miles Murphy fell, one of those guys, like a top defensive line guy. Otherwise, you kind of have to go offensive line. Like, you need that stud tackle. Like, you need a guy there that you can count on for the next decade that, like, you don't hear his name during games, right? Because that's the best part of an offense. Like, if you don't hear an offensive lineman's name, it means they're doing a good job during the games because they're not committing any penalties. They're not giving up any sacks or anything like that. So that's the kind of guy you need there. And so I would hope that, like, if I had to go into the draft room today, I'm listing all the offensive linemen first. And then if someone falls, sure, like that might
be. So
you're
putting your board as offensive linemen first? That's how you're setting up your board? Really?
I think
that's surprising to me.
Well, I mean, look, if
I would say, here's how I would set my board. Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson.
But I don't think they're going to be there.
Well, I'm giving you the names who I would put at the top of the board. I would put the two edge rushers, Anderson and Wilson, at the top. Then I would place Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver,
okay,
at number 3.
Okay.
Then I would go to the offensive tackles. Then I would go to Paris Johnson Jr., and then maybe we get to Peter Skoronski.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way it would line up, but I would go defensive end, wide receiver
so
as my option.
We have the same board. It's just I'm saying that those two guys aren't going to be there. Like, Will Anderson's not going to be there.
I would also be willing... I would be willing to get dangerous and go cornerback over a tackle. I think a stud corner is a position that at the value at that spot, top 10.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan Poles, based on what he got out of Tevin Jenkins last season and what we've seen drafting Braxton Jones in the 5th round,
mm-hmm,
I feel as if for the value at the position at 9,
mm-hmm,
he could possibly find a tackle, offensive tackle, later in the draft. But at 9, you want someone who immediately is going to be a star.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where you could get star pop from the corners, Gonzalez or Witherspoon, or maybe it's one of the edge rushers, Wilson if he falls. Obviously, Will Anderson won't get to that point.
No.
But I just feel like when you're at that position. Now, if Poles is able to move back to like 15, 14,
see, that was
somewhere
gonna be
in
my
there.
Next thing.
Then yeah, maybe offensive tackle is the way you go then.
Well, I think that it's either way, right? I would put Jackson Smith and Jigba ahead of the offensive linemen. But I'm starting to get the feeling that someone might take him earlier. I'm starting to get the feeling that maybe like a lot of mock drafts have corners going higher, but if some of these corners are going to be available later to some of these teams that have multiple picks. Like, Houston has 2 picks, right?
Yeah.
Houston could take a quarterback and a cornerback, right?
Yeah, like they have 2 and 12.
Yeah, so they could do that. They don't have to, like, wait or take a wide receiver if they don't want to. If Jackson Smith and Jigba's there, I'll take him over the offensive lineman because I also believe that Ryan Poles can take him. So my draft board would be Jackson Smith and Jigba 1, and then the offensive lineman, and then the defensive linemen, and then the corners. Like, corners to me is not. It's I get the position that it's a valuable position, but they need more help elsewhere than the corner spot.
Am I putting too much faith in Ryan Poles to get it done on the offensive line to think that he doesn't need to use a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman? Do I have too much trust in Ryan Poles?
No, I don't think you don't. I don't think you do. I trust him to find... Look, I just point to the evidence. Braxton Jones. The evidence is there.
Well, like, I think Tevin Jenkins is just as much. He was a player that he seemed heading into the season was unusable. And then the Bears found a way throughout training camp to get something out of a disgruntled, injured player to be a positive on the offensive line. I was very impressed by that.
So if they end up going offensive line with their 2 second-round picks, I'm fine with that, too. Go ahead and do that.
312-332-3776 is our phone number if you want to join us. We're talking Bears football.
Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app.
Can we give a shout out to all the people that came out on Friday to the House of Blues? And also shout out to Keith Williams and to Danny Zetterman and to our leadership team at Good Karma Brands. We have, Abdallah and I have both been at the station for over 15 years. We've been here for a long time and we've been to a lot of events. Last Friday at the House of Blues was by far the coolest event our station has put on. And shout out to the listeners who came out. Walked in, the event started at noon. I walk in at 11 and the place is packed. Full house from the jump. And people were ready to go and they were amped. And if you listened on Friday, we thank you for listening. If you were there in person, thank you for saying hello and hanging out with us to celebrate 25 years of ESPN 1000. And I would also say, like, it was great. It was a great time. You and I, we had the task of, in between commercial breaks on the two big shows, Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie, in between the commercial breaks, you and I were on stage being the entertainment.
Hey!
The entertainment during the commercial breaks. So we were up there.
Hey!
Yes, we were. Trying to dance and to,
if you heard my voice at the end of the afternoon, it definitely sounded like that guy.
So if you were only listening on ESPN 1000, you didn't really hear anything from Black and Abdallah on Friday, but we were there at the House of Blues and we were hanging out with the people, and wow, what a great time. Congrats to Danny, to Keith, to everyone here at the station, but also congrats to the fine listeners that showed up. It was a fantastic time on Friday.
Yeah, shout out to Maggie, Bailey, Travis, and Sonny in our marketing department. Like I said to when we were at the second bar.
The post-party.
I said to Maggie, I was like, listen, like you just said, we've been here for over 15 years. That is hands down the best event that we've ever done. It easily was the best event we've ever done. And so props to them for putting that all together. I mean, we were running around like crazy people trying to find people to get them on stage. We tried to get everybody we could on stage that we could find. We went to go find more people. Some people had already left.
Yeah.
And so, like, we tried to get everybody. It was so cool seeing so many people that, like, used to produce. People that I didn't even think were going to be there. Like, Scott Bertram, who used to produce Mac Yurko and Harry, was there. Joe Fisher was a producer here. I got his job when he left. He left on his own accord, though. He wasn't fired or anything.
Yeah, he went to do something else.
Yeah, went to go teach. He went to go do, like, a real job. That actually gives back to, like, the community and stuff. And so, like, it was just cool seeing all these people that we haven't seen, and all the listeners and all the people on Twitch that showed up. And, like, it's very humbling to get to see everybody that really enjoy what we do, because we just talk about zoo news and Groundhog Day for 2 hours a night. And it's amazing that people listen to it. And it's amazing that people enjoy it. So thank you, guys. And hopefully we're doing this for 25 more years.
Yeah, Black and Abdallah Nights, 25 years from now,
And filling in for Grady.
When he's off having soup. Black and Abdallah, so yes, thank you. You're right. It was by far the best event we've ever put on. It was great. It was a fantastic time.
It was so much fun.
It was incredible.
Dude, I've been going to so many concerts for decades, and like, to be on the stage. And like I told, I was telling people, the last time I was on the stage of the House of Blues, I jumped off of it and was crowd surfing during a CKY show, which we played a while ago for Song of the Night. It was during that song. And like going backstage and like seeing all the like all the cool set lists that they had from every band that's been there, being in the green room, and they're like, you know, like every artist has been back here. Like Jay-Z was back here once, and I was like, oh man, Jay-Z sat on this couch. That's crazy. And like stuff like seeing all the signatures on the wall in the bathroom. Like I stood there, and while I was going to the bathroom, I turned over, and there's a David Lee Roth signature on the bathroom wall. Like,
did you make a mess?
No, I didn't make it. I just took a picture of it.
Oh,
of
the signature. You said you were going to the bathroom and you turned over.
No, I mean, I can look and aim at the same time.
You turned your head.
Turned my head, yeah. I didn't do like a full turn.
That's what I pictured. You go, just turn over. You're now on your back. You're on your back on the toilet making a mess.
But no, it was awesome. Thank you to everybody again for coming out. It was great.
It was a great time. Then Waddle and Sylvie go to commercial break, and then here come Bleck and Abdallah onto the stage.
He went Creighton minus 10, and Creighton covered the 10. They won by 11.
He gave out a free play at the House of Blues.
If you were there at the House of Blues and you played Creighton, you're a winner.
It was a great time. Paul in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask you a quick football question, and then if you have time, I have a little funny pee story. I know Abdallah likes to watch people pee on the garbage can. My football question is, in free agency, there's still a guy like Marcus Peters around for the cornerback position. What do you think about adding a veteran free agent still through, to add some depth? I mean, he would be a corner one, corner two here right away. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a great fit for us.
Yeah, I think they might go bargain hunting once the draft is over. I would think that, you know, Ryan Poles was meeting the media today, and he did say something right now to improve our team. I think we got to look at the draft. So I don't think you'll see a lot of signings coming up here in the next 4 weeks. I think they're going to go deep into draft prep and interviewing players. But maybe after, whatever they don't fill up after the draft, like A'shaun Robinson is still out there for the defensive line. So, I mean, there are names out there, and if they don't fill those holes during the draft, then I would look. Yeah, they'll go. By. I mean, look, they still have $10 more million than the next team for cap space. They have about $38 million right now to spend, and that includes paying whoever they draft. So, if you have $38 million left, then you can still go out and sign a few team-friendly deals for yourself and give maybe a couple aged veterans a chance to for some depth there on the lines. And at a corner, too, for the secondary.
Paul, what's your story about going on the garbage cans?
Okay, so several years ago when my wife was still my girlfriend, one of her friends flew in from Florida, and she was staying with her mom. So we went over there to visit, and we went over there for dinner. We had some family over, and we're over there, and they said, oh, they're like, we got to order an Uber for her younger brother. He was getting out of basketball practice at school or something. So, you know, I volunteered. I said, hey, I don't really know anybody here. I go, let me go pick him up. And then we all kind of started talking. And we're like, hey, why don't I pretend I'm the Uber guy and kind of make it awkward for him? And I don't know, just try and mess with him a little bit. So I said, sure, okay. So I went and picked him up from basketball, gets in the car, you know. I'm trying to, at the time it was like Jimmy Butler. I'm not a big Bulls guy, but I was trying to make some kind of small talk with him about sports or anything. He's just not having it, in the back seat on his phone, just like, shut up, you know. So we pull up in front of his house, and he goes in, and then I went behind him and I knocked on the door, and he opens the door and he's like, yeah, what's up? And I was like, listen, man, I was like, I really got to pee. I was like, can I possibly go inside and use your bathroom? And he looked at me all weird. You know, all his family's there in the living room, and he's like, sorry, I got family over. And he just closed the door in my face. At which point, I wanted to go and pee on his garbage cans. You know, there's... So I'm like, man, okay. So I kind of, like, sat there for a second, then I rang the doorbell again, and he answered the door again, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was like, I really, really, really got to go. And the rest of his family was like, yeah, let him use the bathroom. Let him come in. He's just weirded out. He's like, okay, whatever. And so, you know, I walk inside. They lead me to the bathroom, at which point he goes, like, in his room to change. So I come out of the bathroom, And they had, like, sat me down at the dinner table, made a full plate, gave me pie and everything. He comes out of his room just like, what the hell is this Hooper guy doing sitting here? I'm, like, BSing with his family, talking about how good the pie is. You know, he was just so confused. But, yeah, no, he was pretty close to getting his garbage cans peed on, though.
All right.
Good story, Paul. Thanks for the phone call. There he is. There's Paul in Elmwood Park. The prank where the girlfriend's family has you fake as the Uber driver and then ask to use the washroom. You know, the good old prank.
I like it. It's a good prank.
Yeah, I like it.
That's classic prank.
That's good, clean fun.
That's classic prank right there.
You know, you're not messing with anyone's food. You're not doing anything inappropriate.
They should do that on that prank show.
Crank Anchors?
No, what's that other one?
Oh, the one with the jokers.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of jokers.
Practical jokers?
Yeah, they're practical.
Impractical
joking.
Jokers?
Yeah, they're in between commercial breaks of the NCAA tournament.
I saw another
one. On True TV.
Where, did you see this? There's a preview for a show. It's like a new prank show where you can nominate people to be pranked. So, like, you can nominate me, and I think it's Johnny Knoxville.
Yes,
that's
I saw
behind
that.
It. You saw this? Okay. Yeah. How many prank shows do we? What are we doing? What are we doing? We doing punked again? Like,
yeah,
what are we doing here?
That's kind of what it is.
What are we doing?
It's like big business, though.
So,
because the Johnny Knoxville one is like a network programming, isn't it?
Yeah. So, are all these shows going to come
ABC
back?
ABC or NBC?
Are all these shows just good? Is it fashion and everything else where everything is cyclical?
Yeah. No one has ideas.
So, are we going to pimp a ride again?
Yeah, probably. No one has. There are no new ideas.
Okay.
Nothing is new anymore.
Can we pimp people's rides?
No. You want to do that?
Can we do making the band?
We're going to find the band?
Yeah, we'll be Diddy.
Well, I can't be Diddy.
We can both be Diddy.
No, I don't think we can.
Why not?
We don't have the... We're not smooth like Diddy.
That's not the point.
We don't have the money either.
We can be the Diddy.
Deciding.
Yeah, we could be like, hey, go do this and go do that and earn your stripes.
If we're trying to find musical acts, we're more of the Kelly Clarkson than we are the Diddy. Let's be real. We're more like The Voice.
Okay. I don't want to spin the chair, though. I don't like that part.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, I don't like that part.
You can steal it, too.
What?
It's Blake Shelton's last season. Do you know this? It's a big deal. It's the last season with him on The Voice.
There are so many shows that I see previews for, and I think to myself, how in the hell is this a show that people watch?
People love it.
Why?
Chance the Rapper's on this year.
Why in God's name? That's not a plus for me. Why in God's name? Why in God's name do we watch Ken Jeong and Jenny McCarthy and Joel McHale guess which celebrity is in a costume?
Because it's Tom Brady. He's in there.
He's not, though. He didn't film it.
I thought he was in there.
That's what the rumor
was. Wasn't that the conversation all NFL season?
Good morning, guys.
That Brady was in the costume?
It's so...
Who was it? Who won that?
What do you mean?
Who won the mask suit?
I don't know.
Well, it had to be someone. The suit wasn't empty. Someone had to be in there.
There's a bunch of people. I think, was Dick Van Dyke in one?
No, really?
I think he was.
Isn't he like 93?
Doesn't matter. Dick Van Dyke.
Didn't he just get in a car accident
week? Dick Van Dyke, Masked Singer.
He was on the Masked Singer
last year. He was the gnome.
What?
Yeah, a month ago. He was the gnome. I don't know. I don't watch. I just watch the previews.
Good morning, guys.
Not Tom. Tom wasn't there.
No, Tom wasn't there.
All right, Black and Abdallah, we have a great song of the night coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000. This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Coming up.
Yeah.
And we have a good one.
Wasn't my first choice, but it was a good choice.
We'll get to it in just a second. Blocking Abdallah weeknight 6-8 right here on ESPN 1000. Chase on the south side. Hello, Chase. Good to see you on Friday.
Chase said hi to me Chase said hi to me like 30 times. So hey, I'm not saying hi to you tonight.
Hey, Black, what's up, man?
Chase, hello.
Abdallah! Hey,
why are you so mean, man?
I'm not mean. I said, how do you like, I shook your hand like four times, like 40 times on Friday.
That was good luck.
And no, listen, and it's, and you're mean because we told you to wear a Trubisky jersey and you refused.
I know, I had to look good though, man. I was trying to look, you know, look good.
Oh, you were on, were you on the prowl on Friday? Were you
out
on the prowl?
Looking.
You said what?
Were you on the prowl on Friday?
On the prowl? What do you mean by on the prowl?
Google it when you get off the phone.
Okay. But it was, but no, on a serious note, it was great seeing you guys though. I really enjoyed talking to you guys and meeting you guys and stuff, and I really had a good time. You know, I always enjoy listening to y'all show, you know, and all the guys. So
thank
really
you,
appreciate you guys and what you guys do. So I know we have fun and everything, but on a serious note, you guys mean a lot to me. So I consider y'all like friends and a family. So I just want to let y'all know that I was a little bit down though, man. I had a talk with Bear.
Yeah.
You know, Bear's announcer.
Yes.
He was actually there, and I had a long talk with him.
What'd you find out?
Well, I had talked to him about Trubisky.
Of course you did.
Chase,
dude.
Can't you let a guy enjoy the day?
What are you doing, man?
he said some things that was like, oh, man, because I had to get a professional's intake on it. And you know what? He said something that really discouraged me. You know what he said? He said he sucks.
Wow! So now because Tom Thayer says it, now you understand. Man,
he said he can't read defenses, and he's an inaccurate passer. He said he's a nice kid, hard worker.
Yeah,
but he's not an accurate passer, and he can't read defense.
Chase, can you do me a favor? Can you do me a favor with that information? Can you call in tomorrow night on the program from 6 to 8 with that same story?
Just do the same call again.
Tomorrow night.
Oh, I see. It's a setup. You trying to get me yelled at by Cap?
Are you working
with Cap tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Oh.
All calls welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Chase, please call with that thought tomorrow night on the show.
I keep that in mind, guys. Before I go,
yes.
I want to ask you guys about Lamar Jackson. Are you guys worried that this could affect the Bears as far as like all the teams, like say the Lions? Or teams like the Vikings get in the mix. Or maybe, say, like a team like Green Bay may get in the mix with this. Like, say if the Packers decide to trade Jordan Love for him, or maybe the Panthers decide to retread and maybe make a run at him. I mean, do you think this could, you know, affect the Bears as far as, because let's say the Panthers make a run at him, the Panthers could try to compete for something, and that's
going
to affect the Bears' chances as far as the record. So, I don't know, what do you guys think about this Lamar Jackson and how it affects the Bears? And I ain't looking to listen.
We'll address it. Thanks for the call, Chase, and good to see you on Friday as well. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson coming up in 5 minutes, but first we have the song of the night.
I want to rock! Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song, we go to Steeler's Wheel, Stuck in the Middle with You. From 1973 to your Song of the Night with Bleck and Abdullah.
Listening to Stuck in the Middle with You.
Abdullah, if we go back to 1963, March 27th, 1963, Quentin Tarantino was born.
Oh.
Today is his 60th birthday.
Wow.
This song featured in Reservoir Dogs. So one of the all-time great films, Quentin's first. And then, obviously, in 1994, he releases Pulp Fiction, which is probably, in my opinion, the most important film from the 1990s.
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely my favorite movie of his, by far. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill, Death Proof, Inglourious Bastards, Django Unchained, Hateful Eight, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is probably his better ones of the 2000s. That's probably my favorite one of the 2000s.
If we had to break it down and say, pick your favorite, I don't know how someone could respond with anything other than Pulp Fiction. I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I understand why others don't.
Yeah.
But to me, it hits a certain chord, and I just really enjoy that era.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the acting from Leo and from Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. So I think it's a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people would vote with, like, Inglourious Basterds or Django as perhaps the second movie to Pulp Fiction. How would you rate them?
Pulp Fiction is my number one. I really like Jackie Brown. Like, I really like Jackie Brown. Like, if you haven't seen Jackie Brown in a while, trust me, rewatch it. It's up there. Jackie Brown might be number two for me. I would say that my least favorite is the weird, like, Death Proof split one that he did.
What about The Hateful Eight?
I didn't mind The Hateful Eight. I didn't mind a long ride with a bunch of dialogue in a cabin.
And Quentin was in the news last week that is announced he's writing the script for his last film, The Movie Critic, which is supposed to be set in the 70s as well. So there you go. Steelers Wheel, Stuck in the Middle with you. It's your song of the night. We salute Quentin Tarantino. Happy birthday.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Bleck and Abdullah on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.